Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Oh, we've got a tight Thornton and Rebe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators.
Welcome into the Instigators. The golden anniversary is upon us, and the jersey has been unveiled. It is a thing of beauty, and it ties in perfectly with Fan Fest weekend, which happens at KeyBank Center and Alumni Plaza tomorrow from 10 to 6. So you get a sense of not only what's to come immediately this year, but you found out that next season, beyond this golden anniversary season, the team will be switching to royal blue. But right now, it is all about a celebration for the golden anniversary. And with that in mind, and with an absence to my left in the form of Craig Rebe, perhaps an Instigator's spin on the golden anniversary jersey. Buffalo Sabres captain from 2008 to 2011. Pride of North Bay, Ontario. 6'2", all white, and accented in gold. Heavy on the gold. That's what we always say about Craig Rebe.
Let me tell you this. These jerseys right now are above and beyond. They're absolutely incredible.
That was quite a workout. You might want to just towel off there.
Thank you.
Oh.
Sweat in the back there. You know, boys gave 150%. Look at these jerseys.
Absolutely incredible. You know what? The best part, and there are many, I think, to this celebratory jersey, which really ties in 50 years in the form of the striping for all five decades, but the closer you get to it, and the opportunity is now really upon us to do that, not only for us in studio, but for you at FanFest tomorrow, because the full uniform will be on display outside the Sabre store at KeyBank Center. The detail in the crest is what does it for me. I know the gloves are going to be a fascination for those that get to watch the full team in white, accented by gold, 13 times this year. That'll happen on KeyBank Center ice, including, fittingly, appropriately, against New Jersey.
Yep.
For the opener, home opener, that is, on October 5th. I love the detail in it, and obviously it is a really special way, I think, to tie in the entire golden anniversary year.
No question about it. You know, just coming in this morning and seeing the gloves, that the players are going to be wearing. I've always said, you know, you can the white gloves on a hockey player when I grew up were a no-no. It was like you were the fancy pants, the dangly skilled kid. Only those kids wore the white gloves. But I'm going to tell you, I'll make an exception right now. I think that, you know, the typical blue and the blue and yellow for the Sabres uniforms have been beautiful for years. But I'll tell you right now, they have really done a fantastic job with this gold and blue, and the look and feel of these jerseys are absolutely incredible.
Right.
Well done.
Well done. I think, you know, obviously this is, you know, in partnership with Adidas as the official uniform supplier for the NHL. And I think as time has gone on, we've certainly seen, you know, the expansion six teams from 67, 68 going through their recent 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And again, this is not a third jersey or a throwback jersey. It is truly a way to try to bring together 50 years of a franchise's history in the way that you celebrate an anniversary. And so I think that, again, the attention to detail, like even just inside the collar,
yep,
right? This is something that as you take pride and as you did as a captain, it's understanding what was and always will be a part of the team's history.
Yeah. I don't play. My years are over, but I'll tell you right now, I feel just putting on this jersey that it kind of gave me a little bit of a chill this morning. And, you know, to be able to unveil this 50th season jersey, I mean, whoever designed this, and it's absolutely fantastic. It looks absolutely beautiful. And it's going to be an exciting weekend. I'm really, really excited to be part of it.
Yes, and my sense is that if it's possible, your profile tomorrow will now be dramatically enhanced by that walk-in today.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll get on that. No question. Feels good. I you know, they asked me to bring in some shoulder pads and elbow pads, and I said, I don't know where they are.
Uh-huh.
I had to go downstairs into the basement and pull boxes off my hockey bag. And when I put my shoulder pads on this morning, unfortunately, it still has a nasty smell, so, you know, that's not a good thing, but I haven't put these shoulder pads on in almost 8 years.
Well, now I'm worried
For the jersey?
For the jersey, yeah.
You know, hey, there's nothing wrong with getting a little stench in the jersey. It means that, you know, it's been worked.
Absolutely.
So,
as far as tying it all in with FanFest, it's a really, I think it should be a fun opportunity for you, shouldn't it, to not only interact with the fans tomorrow, but when you're just the way you described when we were talking earlier in the week, just about your encounters with Sabres alumni over the years, and especially the ones that are here an awful lot, like the legends and Danny Gare and Rene Robert.
Yep.
These are neat moments for you. It almost takes you in a different place, despite playing almost 1,000 games in your career.
Yeah, you know, these are special moments, certainly for the old timers and the guys that had played. And our years are over. You know, I enjoy. You know, I don't pretend to think that I can still play this game. You know, those years are far beyond me. But you know, I played at a time. I get to see players that I had played against, players that I really disliked as a player in the league, mm-hmm. but now are good friends with certain guys. I get to see guys that I had watched, which is even more important, right? I mean, I think it's really special that, you know, when I was sitting up in North Bay, Ontario, and my mom and dad gave me a little bowl of chips to be able to sit in front of the hockey that night. That was those are memories that I will never forget. And I was watching, you know, the players like Rene Robert and Danny Gare, and I mean, you can just go on and on again with the greats that are here and with the Sabres.
And now, because of what we've been able to unveil here today across Buffalo Sabres social media platforms as well, the opportunity to see the 50th anniversary jersey up front at FanFest and at the Sabre store, be able to put in a pre-order. The jerseys themselves won't be available until into the month of September, the back half of September, mid to back half of September, but the pre-orders can happen tomorrow.
Yeah,
at the store.
I mean, start running because this is a jersey that I think you're going to want. This is going to go down in history right here, this jersey. It's absolutely gorgeous with the bright gold and the blue. And, I mean, this is going to be a special jersey. There's no question about it.
Well, as mentioned, the jerseys will be worn for the first time. Home opener October 5th versus the Devils. That happens, of course, at KeyBank Center. Happening there this weekend, the entirety of FanFest, which kicks off at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning with the 5K run. And incredible activations going on outside and inside, and obviously Strictly Hip, a Buffalo staple, will be on hand to perform a couple of times, including closing it down as well. So really looking forward to that. And you know, we have so many alum that will be able to not only, and most importantly, interact with you, the fans, but, have some sit-down moments as far as, kind of quick roundtable discussions on their eras and the highlights of their careers in Buffalo. So again, all the details, sabres.com/fanfest. And again, can't wait to see you there tomorrow down at KeyBank Center. There's also an awful lot of new news as far as it pertains to theme nights and ticket packages and all the rest being laid out for this upcoming season. You can find that again at Buffalo Sabres on Twitter and sabres.com. But I take great pride in trying to know as much as possible about what the alumni accomplished for this organization over the years, and yet every time, but this being an incredibly unique time at 50 years, revisiting the stories, which we will do throughout the course of this season, you always are reminded of or learn something new about some of the players. And the part of being a fan is that you go through the heartbreaking moments again, right? And the near misses like 1975 and 1980 and 05, 06 and 1999. But for every on-ice loss, think of how much the fan base multiplied in those times where everyone was all in with this franchise.
You forgot one. The 2005-2006 season, I hear about it every day from Petey and Marty. That was obviously a very special team. Watching that season just in particular, I remember playing against them, and that was the real deal hockey team. I think, were they not first in the National Hockey League that
06,
year?
06-07 they were.
06-07.
Yeah, they were the underdog, which is what made the Pominville OT shocker.
What was the year that they lost all their defensemen?
It was 05-06. Okay. But they had literally that started the playoffs as an underdog because Ottawa was better and had their number during the season.
Yeah, well, that team in particular, when they lost all those defensemen, they were my favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And it just, the stars did not align for that hockey team. They had all the ingredients. They had the coaching. They had the offense. They had the defense and the goaltending. They had all the ingredients to be a Stanley Cup champion. And, unfortunately for them, they lost five of their top defensemen and had to bring in three guys from the minors, and it was just it was one of those things where you're saying, why is this happening to us now? But that being said, they've done a lot of great things. There's a lot of great memories. They've come close, and this organization moving forward is striving for the ultimate goal. I mean, this is what every player plays for. It's what the organization is about. And I'll tell you this, when I came here in 2008, what I realized about Buffalo, and I did not give them the respect, because, I tell the story that when I did get traded here from San Jose, I did not want to come to Buffalo. I did not want to come to Buffalo, not because the reason was is I had so many tough memories about Buffalo with the teams that I had to play against. They were extremely difficult to play against. I hated them. They seemed to hate me, as you can listen to Petey and everybody else talk about it. There was a hatred between myself and the Buffalo Sabres, and that was tough for me to swallow. Once I started to do my due diligence on Buffalo in general, the city, every player that I talked to was either living here after the game or currently saying it is the best place in the National Hockey League to bring up a family. The people there are incredible. So that's when I gave it a chance, and I said, I can't wait to come here. And now, 11 years later, I'm still here with my family, and I didn't move away after I had retired, because this place here and the fan base here, not only the fan base with the Bills and the Sabres, this is a special place for sports. Mm-hmm. And I'm extremely happy now. Now looking back, I'm extremely happy that my wife is the one who pushed me to say, this seems right. You need to go to Buffalo.
Awesome.
Yep.
And as a former captain and daily media presence in this market.
Yep. And I love it.
Here you are sitting in this jersey.
Yeah, it's, you know what? I've got chills right now. And people are, you know, probably thinking why, but you know, there's a lot that goes into decision making when your life gets uprooted and you've got kids and schools and everything else. But I made the best decision of my career. I can't say that my time here in Buffalo was my best. I think I was near the end of my career, but I felt like I gave what I could to this city and that team. And you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world. It's been amazing.
Well, again, an awful lot of excitement being driven by yesterday afternoon's tweet from the Sabres about where they were heading organizationally as far as the jerseys were concerned. The big unveil of the golden anniversary jersey today, the acknowledgement that Royal Blue returns full time in the 2021 season. So there's an awful lot to embrace, and I think that's, again, the theme of the entire weekend. And not just because of FanFest, but not to be overlooked in all of this, is the fact that if you're really excited about hockey at the moment and deeply in love with blue and gold, especially of the royal tinge, it's hockey night at the ballpark tonight at the Bisons game. So Petey and Darren Pupo were there signing autographs. Kyle Opozo's throwing out the opening pitch, and the Bisons, who are still chasing down first in their division, so it's an incredibly meaningful Friday night game in mid-August in Buffalo.
Let's hope they're
wearing the hockey-themed jerseys tonight, which are beautiful. And I just think it's an incredible way to really witness what it can be like downtown at meaningful hockey times.
Yes. Well, you know what? You talk about the downtown. When I played for the Montreal Canadiens all those years, it was tough to come here. Mm-hmm. It was tough to come here because the downtown was certainly going through a transition. There was a lot of struggle downtown, not a whole lot going on. But I'll tell you this, the Pagulas, they need to take a lot of praise for what they've done in building up this downtown. It's really, really turned around. There's a lot more traffic coming downtown because it's so much more beautiful. And, it's pretty impressive what's going on here.
And this is hard to speak to, so I don't mean to put you on the spot, and your kids are younger than those that are in the NHL, but I'm thinking you can somehow bridge the gap and try to put yourself in a position of a current player who, from a professional standpoint, is obviously striving to be better, striving to get the team where it needs to be. How much can all of this, reflecting on history, embracing a golden anniversary, like in the smallest way, how much can it tweak someone's mind to just be in a better place, recognize that there has been success and that there can be success?
Yeah, well, I'll speak to this. My time in Montreal, we went through a little bit of a transition. When I came in as a younger player, as a rookie, and a few years, we were a very, very good team. But then there was a transition in Montreal. Yeah. And I'm only speaking through experience because the Sabres are going through the same thing. There was a number of years there that looked pretty bleak, and it looked like there was no end. There was no light at the tunnel. And what you're talking about right now is in Montreal, it seemed like there was a jersey being retired by a great. There seemed to always be something where the players that were currently playing in that organization in Montreal knew that there is winning that happened in the past, and a lot of it, and they let you know that, and you strive for that, but there's also going to be winning in years to come. Mm-hmm. You just need to work yourself out of it. Be appreciative that you're having the opportunity to even play this game.
Yeah.
Be even more appreciative to know that you're playing in a great organization.
Right.
And just go out and do what you can. And knowing deep down where you have everybody collectively thinking positive thoughts, you're going to get out of this. And that was the vibe in Montreal where we were struggling. Mm-hmm. For many years. And the same goes for, you know, what's happening with the Sabres. You know, there are positive signs moving forward. You know, there's elite players that we have on our roster. There's players that have incredible upsides and that are very young, and we're waiting patiently for these players to come through. And knowing that this organization, who's had their struggles for a few years, know that it's going to turn around.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, I just think that there's, you know, any kind of tweak that you can get to put yourself in a slightly better place should be advantageous. And, you know, you just, again, today is, it's not to be taken too far, but in the sense of it doesn't change results, but what it does do is put people in a good place. And yes. Again, and right now it's the fan base, but obviously the hope is that there's a greater instill of pride and obviously the hope that it changes when it comes to on the ice as well. We're going to take a quick timeout. Obviously the reaction to this seemingly has been very positive. I'm going to give you an awful lot of credit for that.
This has been great.
The walk-in was pretty good.
Looks
and,
fantastic.
You know, your professionalism walking from, by the way, are the lungs okay? It was looked a little smoky where you started.
Well,
there.
I'm not gonna lie. I had to stretch before I did my walk in. I didn't want to pull anything, but you know, so far so good. So,
all right, again, you've got the towel. Drink a little more Gatorade, yep. And we'll come back. But great to see the, you know, the response so far to the Golden Anniversary jersey, and obviously it sets us up nice for a Buffalo hockey weekend here in August, which culminates with FanFest tomorrow down at Alumni Plaza at KeyBank Center. More details on that, little update on Rasmus Dahlin as well, as we continue the Instigators on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, winding down a really fun week, and only from a standpoint of in-studio, the week continues with Hockey Night at the Ballpark tonight, the Bisons game at Salem Field, and of course, Fan Fest tomorrow, Alumni Plaza, KeyBank Center, in the rink, outside the rink, 5K, 9 o'clock in the morning, kids run right after that, full festivities involving a ton of alum from 10 to 6, and then on top of it, you know, announcement today about mini packs, ticket pricing, ticket availability, pre-sale orders, preseason schedule, as far as, you know, tickets for those games, theme nights. It's all run down on Sabres.com right now. It's really heavy overload of information. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything, I would just simply encourage you to know that if you check out the website, there is an awful lot of details and answers to questions that you probably have. But obviously we know, you know, we're not that far away from the Sabres camp and preseason beginning, and a real fun start to the day as it pertained to the golden anniversary jersey being unveiled. Again, just fluorescent gold design and the elements and the graphics. I love the five stripes, which signifies all the decades of existence. The crest is heavy on detail and design, and I think is going to be a real grab for people when they see it for the first time. Like, it's one thing to just stand back.
In person.
Oh, that looks kind of nice.
In person.
In person. Like, you. It's not that in a 4K world you can't get the detail by looking at it on video. I understand that. But there's definitely something to be said. And again, it'll be the full uniform on display outside the Sabres store at FanFest tomorrow. Now, we've also been heavy not only on anniversary ideas and the season ahead, but the off-season lists that have been unveiled positionally by NHL Network, with the latest one regarding top defensemen to come out on Sunday. Interesting little teaser that they put out today, Rivs, the fact that Rasmus Dahlin, among a handful of others, were narrow misses off the list. So don't expect to see Rasmus Dahlin in the NHL's top 20D as it becomes unveiled by the network on Sunday.
Rightfully so. He had 44 points last year. He had an incredible rookie season. He still has work to do to be in the golden graces of the top defenseman in the National Hockey League.
And
Rasmus Dahlin has something to prove, continue to get better, continue to mature as a young player, and I can almost guarantee that you will see him on that top list very, very soon.
However, when one ponders the fact that Dahlin, Tyson Barrie, Dustin Byfuglien, Thomas Chabot, Jacob Slavin, but definitely two of the more veteran players in Barrie and Byfuglien are not on the list, it does beg the question, how many players that will ultimately be on the list are you going to be scratching your head at in conjunction with Dahlin not being on there?
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I mean, first of all, the Dustin Byfuglien situation, he missed almost 40 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
That probably factors in to him not being on the list. I think that he is a game-changing defenseman. I watched games with him last year where he single-handedly manhandled guys that were well over 200 pounds and made them look like they were 100 pounds. He is a great defenseman, but you know, when you only play half the season, I think that they have to take that into account. You know, Tyson Barrie will always be known as a very somewhat underappreciated, underrated offensive guy. He last year I think had 59 points. He is an offensive puck-pushing defenseman.
Sure.
But overall, are there guys that are better than him in that category? But then you have to funnel in the guys that are playing a two-way style. Maybe they throw in a defender into the list.
Well,
I'm really interested to see who is on this list.
Well, I think when you phrase it that way, and you certainly speak from firsthand experience, as does friend of the show Ken Danico, who's involved in this process of building the list, he said even when the Sabres started to struggle as a team, you watched Dahlin, and he just continued to play through everything. I think we would all agree with that. Like, that was one impressive aspect of Dahlin's game, was that there was very little wavering in his performance. So Danico said that to be able to continue to do that as a young defenseman, come in and play as poised as he did for most of the years, no doubt that Dahlin, maybe not this year, but has the potential to be a top five guy in the league within a couple of years.
No question, 100%. It's really eye-opening that Rasmus Dahlin did as well as he did in the second part of the year, because the team the second part of the year, I think, was the worst or second worst in the league in those remaining, you know, 35 games.
50. Yeah.
Okay, 50 games. In those 50 games, there was a lot of guys that struggled. It's amazing that Rasmus Dahlin's point totals and how he commanded more ice and how he started to feel more comfortable in his game.
Mm-hmm.
He played exceptionally well at the end of the year on a really, really team that struggled in a lot of areas. So this is a good thing. You know, you put Rasmus Dahlin on a little bit stronger, a little bit more confident team, offensively and defensively. We don't even know what we're going to get out of this young kid.
What was the most impressive aspect of him last year?
His ability to move the puck, and he is a slimy, slinky, like, he is so smooth and elusive. He is just like, I have a very hard time trying to think of a defenseman that's kind of like him. You think of like, oh, he's like kind of like Erik Karlsson. No, he's actually not like Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson, I'm trying to think of a defenseman that is like Rasmus Dahlin with the way his skill set and his hands, his vision to move the puck. I've never seen a defenseman in a very long time have the ability to make a play that, I'm telling you this from experience, he makes plays and you get to watch on TV or in the stands, he makes plays that look extremely easy, like every Tom, Dick, and Harry can make it. No, you can't. They're extremely, there's times where he makes things look so easy. And it's almost frustrating because I know how hard it is, right? It's incredible. And he's 18 years old. I can't believe it. I look at Rasmus Dahlin and he looks the same age as some of the kids I have on my U15 hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
This young man is going to develop mentally and physically, and to move that in with his skill set and what's between his ears, I don't think there's anything stopping Rasmus Dahlin of being the best player in the National Hockey League at some point.
Well, I suspect there's going to be some outcry from hardcore Sabres fans that he doesn't make the list. I think
he shouldn't be on the list.
Well, but there's the thing, like, the easy way to just kind of refresh one's memory on top defensemen is to just, you know, look at it from a top scorer's standpoint, if you will. Look, Burns and Giordano and Riley and Karlsson are all going to be there, right?
Yep.
Okay, so there's four of them. But the fifth leading scorer among defensemen was Keith Yandel.
Yep.
Would you have Keith Yandel over Dahlin?
No, wouldn't have him on there.
Okay, so there's one. Would Erik Gustafsson? No.
No.
Obviously not, based on where he actually plays in the Hawks configuration. He just happened to pick up a lot of points. Tyson Barrie at seven is also not on the list. Chris Letang.
No question.
No question.
100% he's on the list.
Okay. Because he obviously...
In 65 games last year, he had 56 points and 16 goals.
100%. Like, 100%. Roman Josi, obviously. Thomas Chabot, no, based on the fact that he's on the honorable mention list as well. But then it gets really interesting. You know, like, obviously Victor Hedman's there. Torrey Krug, you're going to put, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But you can sense that there's going to be some people that might go, come on, right?
Come on what? I don't know. What do you mean? Come on. Torrey Krug is...
I know.
Torrey Krug in 64 games last year,
yes,
again, had 53 points.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on pace for 65-plus points.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is Torrey Krug right now is a 28-year-old defenseman that has bided his time as a younger player. He has moved his way into a top-end defenseman in the National Hockey League. He plays physical. He's got an edge to him. He adds power play points. He kills penalties. He does everything. He 100% should be on this list right now. He's in his prime. We're talking about an 18-year-old defenseman that just played 1 year, that at the start of the year, you know, wasn't quite there. They played him the way they should have played him. He was kind of they didn't play him in the 20 plus minutes. They kept him to the 17, 18 minutes a night, which was perfect to get his feet wet. And then all of a sudden, about game 15 to 20, he started to kind of, whoa, here's the Rasmus Dahlin that was first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
But then beyond that, his last 50 games of the season were fantastic on a struggling team. in the biggest way. And he continued to get, develop and get better. But to say that he is more valuable right now than Torrey Krug, that's I wouldn't say that. I would not say that right now. Give Rasmus Dahlin a year, maybe 2 years, and I think we're going to have a completely discussion on many, many of these players that are on this list.
Jacob Trouba just got paid, switched teams this offseason. You have him ahead too?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff Petrie?
You're missing Ryan Suter.
Well, because I'm not even going to mention Ryan Suter. Obviously, he's in there.
Okay, so, you know, like Ryan Suter is the silent assassin. He is a defenseman that's not flashy, but he is probably the best two-way defenseman in the last 10 years right. in the National Hockey League.
Exactly.
So you have Suter on there.
Petrie, no.
Ryan McDonough I would have on there.
Klingberg, Doughty, Carlson.
I would have Seth Jones on there. Mm-hmm. Drew Doughty is going to be on there. Eric Carlson is going to be on there. I would put Werenski on there.
Mm-hmm.
Petrangelo is going to be on there.
So just I mean, so, yeah. I mean, again, you can't rank this based on top scoring defensemen. There's so much more to it. I get that.
No question.
Dahlin comes in at 23rd last year, tied for 21st, actually, in points among defensemen. But we've already established that there's going to be a handful of guys that are not from that group that are going to ultimately be on NHL Network's top 20 defensemen list. The question is how many guys that much further behind Dahlin in points would you assume get on this list? Is Ekholm going to be on the list? Is Spurgeon going to be on the list? Petrangelo definitely will be on the list.
No question. Maybe even a Ryan Ellis in Nashville might be on the list. He's just, you know, he had 41 points last year, 7 goals, plus 21, a major factor in moving the puck. He was another player when he came into the league as a very, very young player. He was a offensive tiny little puck moving guy. Well, he's turned himself into a two-way. He's a solid defender and he's a solid puck mover, power play specialist. I mean, he's turned himself into a really, really nice defenseman. So it's going to be very interesting moving
forward. Like
does Aaron
Ekblad. That's an interesting name for me too.
I wouldn't put him up there. That's just me personally. I don't think he's a great defender and I don't think he's an offensive defenseman.
Okay.
I think he was the first overall pick. I think he's going to be a solid player in the National Hockey League for years. Mm-hmm. But he is a player that when they drafted him, they figured he would be a 1-2 defenseman. Now I see on his team currently right now, he's considered that. But I don't see him as an elite defenseman in this league.
Well, I think when you kind of go through the exercise very quickly like we just did and you're ranking defensemen just by scoring, it's very understandable to see how they landed on the five that they landed on for honorable mentions just outside of the list. Because when you're putting 20 on a board, it is an awful lot. It's an awful lot of, a mix of everything. I think most of them have the high-end offensive skill. That's typically the nature of all elite defensemen in today's game. But the fact that is this perhaps, Riv, something that should be more celebrated than condemned? The fact that after 1 year, he's that close to already being top 20?
Yeah, I mean, he's going into his 19th year, or 19-year-old year in the
right,
National Hockey
League.
Right,
he played his full season as an 18-year-old.
I mean, he had 44 points. It's the second most in NHL history behind, his head coach at the time. And he's done some special things. There's no question. I think that there's no ceiling to what he can do in this league because I think that when you look at Rasmus Dahlin and you look at some players that have come into the league as an early young player, you're like, that guy is very offensive. He came out of junior hockey or he came out and he's really, really offensive, but he's not good defensively. Well, Rasmus Dahlin is a solid defender. He's physical. He made more hits last year than most guys on the team.
I love it.
He's got a little bit of edge to him where...
Hey, so, Ribs, why do you think all this is on display already from Dahlin?
Because he's a special talent. I mean...
Because he played pro.
Well, yes, yes, exactly.
I'm needling you for the comment yesterday when you trashed me for Asplund's resume, which is now going into his sixth year.
Go and look at Rasmus Dahlin's point totals when he was 16 and 17over in Europe.
They're not massive.
They're not massive at all. That's what I'm saying. I mean, he was what was good for Rasmus Dahlin is he was with men.
Yeah.
He was with guys that were 22, 25, 28, maybe even a couple 30-year-olds. He was in an environment where they took things seriously. Mm-hmm. There is no child's play. There is no joking around. Not to say that the boys don't joke around you know, in your 20s and 30s. I'm saying that they treat it like a job. That was their job. And Rasmus Dahlin got to work out with these guys at a very young age. They knew that he had the talent and the skill set and the brain. Mm-hmm. The body was not quite there yet. And he got to work out with men mm-hmm. for a couple years before coming to the National Hockey League. So it wasn't the same as a kid coming out of junior hockey where he's typically playing against 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old players. Mm-hmm. Rasmus Dahlin played against guys that were 20 upwards of into their 30s. So it's a very different. He was ready, I think, more mentally and mm-hmm. physically for the game.
Well, and I think any dealings that you would have encountered with him directly and or indirectly in the sense of observing how he fit in the room immediately. And again, these are things that are not to be overlooked based on just the cultural change, the geographical change, everything that comes with that, especially at such a young age. You're not worldly necessarily at 18. So the fact that you can still take in all of it. And I thought the kid was, the one thing I always tell people is, based on Buffalo being in the number one position that year in the draft, it's not like our pre-draft coverage in most other years where you're speculating as to, right, who you're going to take.
Yep.
So the fact that we had had a long sit-down interview with Dahlin at the Combine long before he's ever taken number one, but it's obvious that that's going to be the way.
Yeah.
It struck me right from the beginning, even then, how, and I don't want to push too far, but how he basically allowed himself to accept that this was going to be home.
Yeah.
And therefore the comfort level that came across in that interview and not always just on camera, like to me it's how does a kid, you know, that could be fidgety, you know, you're in a room full of people, cameras and all this stuff. Like there's a lot going on, and obviously he's been on a different stage than most. There was that beautiful confidence which is hard to find at that age and really that just kind of played out that way through the whole year. And yet to the point where he still doesn't want to talk too much. And that's also a thing of beauty, too.
There's a couple things that I remember. I thought he was extremely impressive in the way that he dealt. So when we would talk to him, we had some fun with him. We got blasted for it. But anyway, we
just
talked to him.
Another day on the calendar.
He's very mature. It's interesting that he's got, he speaks well, even though, you know, his English was a little rusty, but mm-hmm. Now it's probably perfect, but mm-hmm. you know, just understanding, and he was very well spoken. I do remember when he, was drafted to Buffalo and we brought them to Buffalo, and then he went and did all his corporate stuff and had to go all over the place. I just thought he was fantastic. He really drew all this in. He had his family there where his parents and his brothers and sisters, it just looks like a terrific family background. It was very impressive to watch him, but he didn't seem to me like he was exhausted from all the pressures.
Right.
Where I remember back when Jack went through it, mm-hmm. it was the Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid show, and it happened for a year and a half plus. Uh-huh. All they talked about and the pressure of being in North America, they got pounded, and Jack got drafted, and it was almost like now Jack's like, thank God it's all over. I am mentally and physically burnt, mm-hmm. where It was a lot tougher for Jack to go through what he had to go through because he was in North America and he had no time to breathe, where Rasmus Dahlin sat over in the Swedish Elite League and he didn't deal with it. He didn't deal with any of the pressures or anyone asking him every day, do you think you're going to go number one? Where, you know, it was dealt with differently, and Rasmus dealt with it very, very well. But I still look back to when Jack went through it. It was just so much harder for Jack because there was so much focus between Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid, and they drove those two guys' names. And every time they had an interview, they always had to talk about Connor. He always had to talk about Connor McDavid. And are you going first? And it was draining for Jack Eichel. And once he got through it, it was almost like he needed a break because he was mentally fried.
Rasmus Dahlin will not be among the top 20 defensemen when NHL Network unveils that on Sunday. He is in an honorable mention group of five based on what they put out today. Really interesting, Rivs. Will Shea Weber, Miro Heiskanen, Mikhail Sergachev, PK Subban, will those guys be on the list? We may revisit that a little bit later on in the show. We do know this. We'll take the quick time out here on Hour 1 of the Instigators, Brian Duff, Craig Revay, and more input from you on the social media platforms as we continue right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Revay.
Golden Anniversary uniform on display now on all social media platforms, and it kicked off the Instigators show, and your first chance to see it live in person at KeyBank Center, October 5th, home opener, New Jersey. 13 times the Sabres will wear home white with a heavy, heavy accent of gold for this Golden Anniversary year.
Again, to have the white jerseys at home is the most exciting part of this whole thing. To be able to see the Sabres have their 50th jerseys on, but to have the teams wear their dark jerseys coming in, it is going to be fantastic. I mean, that is what the fans want in every sense of the word.
It'll happen once in October with the home opener against the Devils, twice in November, including against the Leafs post-Thanksgiving. December's got three, January 1 time, that'll be on the 30th against Montreal, a couple more times in February, three more in March, and then closing it out on Fan Appreciation Night with the Flyers in town. And one wonders at that point in time in the year, what might the point total and happiness level be for one Kevin Hayes, who is still reportedly, probably, pretty happy right now with the fact that he got that massive contract from Philadelphia. But the report today, take it for what it's worth, from Yahoo Sports, the only reason that Kevin Hayes signed with the Flyers was because they overpaid. Buy, sell, trade. That's the report that's out there today. Frank Cervelli of TSN said that he knew that, you know, that Hayes knew he was going to be getting more than his actual worth, and there are various stories that try to support this. And I don't know. Does this come as a surprise to you?
That he got paid more than what he's worth? No, that's what happens to a lot of teams or a lot of players in unrestricted free agency, and you have, you have teams that are bartering for a player's services. Teams have to go up and up and up and up, and it gets to a point where you pass that player's ceiling of what he's probably worth. Mm-hmm. I think he made 5.1 or 5.2 million last year. He had 54 points. He had 19 goals. He's a solid $5.5 million player, and right now he's going to be paid $7 million a year to play on the Flyers. It is overpaid. There's no question about it.
Incredibly, the Flyers are still in pretty good cap position right now. They still have to finish off Konechny's deal, but they have a lot of offensive weapons.
Provorov on defense.
Yeah.
They're going to be in a situation where they're going to run into having to pay some younger players in the near future. And right now they seem to be 13 million or 13.5 million under the cap, but they're still going to have to pay Ian Provorov, who's a 22-year-old defenseman coming out of his entry-level contract, and Travis Konechny. And you could probably think that both those two players, if you're going long-term, are going to be taking a chunk out of that cap.
Yeah, the interesting thing there is Gostisbehere, after emerging onto the scene so quickly and impressively, quickly found himself in trade rumors. So one assumes that if they have to go that high and that heavy on defense spending down the road, that Gostisbehere's name will again resurface in that regard to give them the relief that they look for, right?
Yeah, he's, Gostisbehere's the head-scratcher defenseman, blew onto the scenes in 15-16. And had 17 goals, 46 points in 64 games. And you started to realize that this young player certainly has the ability to move the puck up the ice and to jump into holes and be offensive, but his defensive play is something to be desired. I mean, he struggles immensely in his defensive zone, and that's just not his game. He's basically, when you have him on the ice, you're playing a 4-1. Mm-hmm. So whoever's defense partner is, don't jump up in the rush, because then it's going to be a 5-0.
Yeah, he's one of the highest point producers in 3-on-3 since the NHL went to that format. He's been elite in that regard. But we will see whether the Kevin Hayes signing ultimately pans out. It's based on needing some help down the middle, in their opinion, and they've got that for 7 years in Kevin Hayes, which time will tell. Hour two of the Instigators coming up. Lots more to dive into as far as FanFest this weekend. Reference and, a nod to the comments that have been coming in on social media as far as the Golden Anniversary jerseys as well. You can find Mr. Rebay at CraigRebay52 on social media. Follow at Instigators as well. And you can find me at Duffer Sabres. Stay tuned. Hour two, Instigators coming up. WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!